Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. Speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost the third of their three scrimmage games by a score of 117-106 to the Phoenix Suns, who played really well tonight. And I'm going to get to that game in just a second. But first, I got to tell you that, look, lately, we've all been craving buckets. No, we don't just mean the ones on the court. We mean the fried chicken kind. So we did some thinking. Baseball has hot dogs. Football has nachos. And now that basketball's back, it only makes sense to name Kentucky Fried Chicken its official food. Listen, basketball players make buckets all the time. KFC makes buckets all the time. And theirs are filled with fried chicken, like Famous Original Recipe, or Crispy Popcorn Chicken, or even Juicy Tender. So that settles it. KFC, the official food of basketball. Order at KFC.ca and get it before tip-off. So, yeah, this game, I mean, you know, it wasn't fantastic. I'll say, you know, in the first half, there just wasn't a lot of defense. And I kind of figured that, like, you know, okay, even if it's a scrimmage, the Raptors have this reputation of, you know, okay, all right, first half, you're decent. We're making a few adjustments. Nick Nurse comes out with one or two different defensive adjustments, some different defensive schemes. The players get a little bit more motivated. And of course, motivation in the bubble, debatable, but you know, usually they're able to just win those third quarters and close it out strong. And you know, it kind of looked like it was gonna go that way, because the Raptors did come out with that starting five of Marc Gasol, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, and Kyle Lowry. Played some beautiful basketball during that stretch. There were a lot of really good sequences of ball movement and things like that, but yeah, it just did not, I don't know, man. It just, this was not the game for the Raptors. I think defensively, they were sloppy, which is, again, uncharacteristic. And even, you know, offensively, they're really sloppy. And sort of those go hand in hand when the Raptors have, you know, 26 turnovers. And you're just not going to be able to defend well if you're constantly guarding in transition, even if you are as good of a defensive team as the Raptors. So, you know, it was not a great effort, I thought. Again, you know, uncharacteristic, and I really do mean that, because if you think about the Raptors, they're not a high turnover team. You know, their season high turnovers this season was 23, and that was against a really good defense and against the Boston Celtics. Phoenix Suns, not quite the Boston Celtics, offensively or defensively, but the 26 turnovers really hurt the Raptors. Defensively, really hurt the Raptors. And the one thing is, usually, you know, in these games, okay, if the starting lineup is a little sloppy, which the Raptors defensively in the starting lineup had some, you know, weaknesses, whatever, you know, not their best showing, but usually their bench comes in and gives a high effort, right? We saw that against Houston, and that's how the Raptors won that Houston game. We saw that against Portland as well. You know, same deal. Even the third stringers came in, gave great effort. And today, yeah, the second unit just, I mean, it was not there. Like, it was an unfortunate game for a couple of these guys. And, you know, again, I don't want to single too many people out, because this is not a great game for just a lot of players. But yeah, the bench guys, you know, they've been strong. Guys like Terrence Davis, Chris Boucher, Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson, Matt Thomas. Those guys have all given good efforts so far in these scrimmages, and today was not their night. But let's just start with the starters. So first off, the biggest thing is Marc Gasol played, and he played extended minutes. His minutes doubled from 10 minutes in the second scrimmage. Obviously, he didn't play the first scrimmage against Houston, but 10 minutes against Portland to 20 minutes against the Suns here. And look, even if it was a minus 15 with 5 points, I thought he played really well. Like, it's one of those games where I don't think the plus minus really is reflective of how Mark performed. I thought he was really active and just, like, really involved. I love the fact that, you know, it just seemed like the more of a committed effort to getting Mark the ball. I think some of it came at the expense of Serge Ibaka, who obviously has been great in the first two games. We're clear in the sense that we know Serge is going to be good. He's ready. He's ready to go. Don't need to get Serge going. We need to get Marc Gasol going. And so there was a lot more featuring of Marc Gasol with the starting lineup. You know, the Raptors had two starting lineups. The first one, the first half, it was the big lineup, same one from Portland, where Mark, Serge, Pascal in the front court, and then Fred and Kyle in the back court. And then in the second half, Serge went to the bench, OG came in to replace Serge, and it was the regular starting lineup. But yeah, there was a lot of just a big emphasis put on and featuring Mark, and I thought, not bad, really not bad. Again, you know, the fact that he only took five shots, I don't mind that, because the way the Suns were guarding, they were sending a third defender at the center, and so you saw it with Serge too. Serge didn't get a lot of shot attempts, only five in 20 minutes for Serge as well, but similar to Mark, Serge and Mark, both of them, because there was a third defender coming over, were able to make the extra pass, find the open corner shooters, and just make good reads that way. And so I don't really mind the field goal attempts. I did like that Mark was aggressive looking for his offense, you know, with an intent to score. It's different. Look, you don't need to necessarily shoot the ball. You don't even necessarily put the ball through the basket. But if you're out there and you're aggressive, you're looking at the hoop, you're not just like quickly reversing the ball and flipping it back to the guy who entered it into the post. If you're actually coming down and looking to make a play, I think it does make a big difference. I think, you know, early in the game we saw a very unconventional play, I would say. Kyle Lowry posting up while Marc Gasol spotted up on the perimeter. It's usually the opposite. You don't see a lot of 6 foot point guards kicking it out to 7-footers. This isn't this isn't Mark Jackson feeding whoever was on the Pacers. I don't know. That's just an old head joke for Alex. But yeah, I mean, you know, Mark was able to hit the mid-range jumper there. He hit a three later on. And I just like that, you know, he got into the post, tried to make a hard move, got fouled. And, you know, I like the activity overall. Like, I think the play that stands out to me the most from Mark's game today was one where, you know, there's a bit of a scramble in the paint. And the Suns were able to get the ball to DeAndre Ayton, who's very athletic, 7-footer, good hands, can finish. And Mark just came over and stuffed him right at the basket. And the loose ball trickled out to Devin Booker in the corner. And of all people, it was Marc Gasol who, like, scrambled over and pressured Booker and sort of really pressed up on him. Kind of got called for a foul because he kind of, you know, I don't know, man, put his stomach on him. I'm not totally sure. I don't think Marc Gasol has a stomach anymore, actually. He's really that trim now, but it turned out to be a foul, but I love the energy. I think the bench was really into it as well. And I like the way Mark can just really connect the defense for the Raptors as a whole, right? Like, it's off the offense as a whole. It's just like the half-court offense with Marc Gasol is just different. It's different. Not in the sense that Serge Ibaka is lacking. I don't think he's lacking. I think, you know, I've already talked about his ability to really stretch the floor this year. Obviously, he's a good finisher inside. You know, he had a post-up. You know, he's actually creating a little bit of, tiny bit of offense, you know, facing up and attacking from the post, which is nice. It's really nice. Not necessarily what I normally look to Serge for to create his own offense, but he's even doing that. And he's passing well, right? He had two passes, especially in the third quarter today, back-to-back sequences, sort of in a short roll situation, attacking the big man, recovering sort of on the move, getting a step on him. I think both times it was Ayton. And Serge, one play, he was able to find Norm open in the corner for three. He missed it, but good look. And then another one where he was able to find Pascal open in the corner for three. He hit that one. But I just think Mark's ability to screen, to make solid screens, just the passing is kind of next level with Mark. I think his ability to attack the closeout is very, very beneficial for the Raptors offense, which the whole idea is sort of, You run some actions, you get some pressure, you get a paint touch with a guy driving, someone swings over to rotate, then you kick the ball out as quickly as you can, rotate the ball, and keep the cycle going until there's a crack and an opportunity to attack, whether it's an open three or a lane to drive to the basket. And I think Mark has done a really good job of that. And it's just his activity as a whole, it was really good. I don't want to oversell this performance, but I did come away really impressed with it, even though it was just a regular Marc Gasol game, I guess. But, you know, we haven't seen regular Marc Gasol since pretty much, like, what, January? So that was a relief to see. The other thing in terms of relief, Fred VanVleet played. And, you know, there was a concern, you know, with his, he banged knees in that Portland game. He checked out of the game. You know, after the game, Nick Nurse said, yeah, he seems to be fine. I don't think it's too big of an issue. And I want to believe coaches when they say that. But also at the same time, maybe it was just the Kawhi Leonard season last year that kind of scarred me a little bit. But I don't fully trust when coaches say these things. You know, I'll believe it when I see them play. In this case, it was completely accurate. You know, Fred was able to go out there, play extended minutes. He played, 23 minutes today, second highest on the team. And looked okay. You know, there were some positive stretches for sure in terms of, you know, he hit this sort of a deep three, you know, got to the free throw line a couple of times, you know, did some regular Fred stuff, but also was, you know, a bit of a step slow, I think, off the dribble. It seemed like creating separation was difficult for him, which, again, is not just an issue for him in this game where it's the Suns or, you know, he's got potentially a bit of a, you know, banged up knee. But yeah, you know, the you know, there were some moments where he wasn't creating, you know, separation. There was a back-to-back sequences there where he was trying to drive on Ricky Rubio, who's, you know, much taller than Fred. And Fred's usually able to get the step on a guy like Rubio, but couldn't really do so and kind of barfed up this, like, weak little push shot that, you know, hit the underside of the rim. No chance really there. And then the next time down, you know, trying to attack and drive by Booker and was called for a push-off where he was trying to create a bit of space there. So, you know, again, these are not issues that are exclusive to this game. You know, there's some things that just happen when you're 6 feet tall. But, yeah, I think on the whole, though, Fred just being healthy and playing those 23 minutes, looking fresh, is good. Maybe I'm expecting a little bit more of a slow start from Fred just because I think he's probably played maybe the least out of some of these guys. I guess Mark played less than him, but I am going to be a little bit curious as to how Fred starts the season because, again, he hasn't had a super heavy workload in the three games here. Hasn't really gone off for like a classic Fred VanVleet 25 points, 8 of 16 shooting with 4 threes type of performance with some great defense just yet. But I thought he was okay today. It was also a bit of a relief to see Norm Powell get a couple of shots off. You know, I thought Norm was kind of uncharacteristically slow in the first two games. You know, he shot 1 of 10 from 3, which, you know, would explain a lot of his dip in scoring when you don't hit threes. But at the same time, you know, there was also kind of just, it felt like he was having to create a lot more of his own offense with guys who aren't really fully ready to play with Norm, who haven't played with Norm. Norm sort of captaining that bench unit, all bench lineup, and you know, we saw more of Norm sort of mixed in with the rest of the starters, you know, in that top seven there. Norm was definitely entrenched within there. And, you know, he was able to get a couple of drives off. He hit, you know, 2 of 3 from three and just did some regular Norm stuff. Like, really, I thought he was a really good game from Norm in terms of the offense. It's just, you know, he left 2 layups short, which, I mean, damn, that used to be Norm's old problem. This year, he's been finishing everything. So, you know, I'll just chalk it up to bad luck. But, yeah, I thought Norm did fine. I think, you know, he's got that really, really powerful driving game where even though he's low to the ground and he's quick, he's able to take off from just a little bit too far out, but then really extend that 7-foot wingspan, get to the rim for, you know, a finger roll finish and stuff like that. You know, so I like the way Norm was able to score. And again, it's just, you know, this is what I expect from Norm, like 14 points on 6 of 11 shooting with 2 threes in 22 minutes. That's that, you know, that's the bar for Norm. I think that should be just, you know, I don't know. He's been so good this year. That feels like a below average game. But, you know, I think as a whole, I like the way Norm attacked. I also, you know, I thought Pascal looked really solid. I always like when Pascal makes jumpers because it really, really makes him look invincible offensively. And, you know, I think we saw more of the post moves in the previous games. You know, we saw he really dropped Robert Covington a few times. You know, the Blazers don't really have anyone to guard Pascal. And yeah, today, I mean, it was more of the jumper. You know, the jumper has been sort of misfiring a little bit for Pascal. We know that. Pascal can go games where he's 1 for 5, and then the next game he's 5 or 6 from 3. And it all balances out. But yeah, we saw today, you know, a lot more Pascal handling the ball. You know, I enjoy that. I think that's a part of his game that still needs to develop because I do think that I want to see him get all the way to the basket, break down a defense, maybe snake a pick and roll, put a defender on his back, drive to the rim, force a third defender, kick it out or something like that. I know that I'm asking for a lot. Those are like the hardest things to do in basketball basically is to ask these like 6'9" wings like LeBron and Giannis and whoever, Jimmy Butler, Luka, to basically make those types of plays And then, you know, the difference there is just like, yeah, when you can really impress, really, really sharpen your handle, really, really put pressure on the rim coming off that high screen, get all the way to the paint, then that's where the defense completely is at your mercy. And I think Pascal right now is able to work the pick and roll. If there's a gap, he's able to shoot through the gap and get to the rim, although he usually takes off a little bit too far, but it's fine. Obviously, he's so long, it doesn't really matter. Or he's able to get the pull-up shot jumper off, which, again, makes sense because he's 6'9" with a 7'3" wingspan. You're just, I don't know, man. Not a lot of guys are going to be blocking that or even affecting that shot too much. But the thing right now for Pascal is he's not able to drive all the way to the basket and really get in that deep paint area. And I think that just comes with, you know, developing the handle, getting even sharper, making better reads, knowing how to use his body and sort of play the game where he's a little bit like a power, the power aspect of that power forward and that power wing position rather than using the length right now to beat guys. I think he can, here's more he can do with his physicality, I think, in the pick and roll situation. But the jumpers today were great. 6'9" overall, 4-5 from three. Right away, he had a step back three. You know, the defense went under against Marc Gasol. You know, him and Mark have a good two-man game going in the pick and roll. I think that's probably his favorite pick and roll partner, maybe outside of Kyle Lowry, who those guys only do it in crunch time. But yeah, I mean, Pascal able to work that two-man game with Marc Gasol. Defender goes under, pull up for three, bam, hit it, confident. Some catch and shoot threes as well. And you know, another step back, and you know, there's even small things like, you know, whatever, facing up against Frank, you know, Kaminsky again, you know, that guy's not really a great defender, and you know, it's sort of an easy target. But yeah, I mean, Pascal able to face him up, drive at him a little bit from the 3-point line, stop on a dime, pull up for a jumper with a little bit of a, you know, one leg in Eric Dirk style, you know, to get his balance, hitting that as well. So I thought Pascal was good. Again, I think, you know, look, he's clearly very down to score. On nights where he's hitting threes and getting to the basket, completely unstoppable. That's a guaranteed 30 points. And then on nights when he's not, you know, one of the two, he's still usually able to be very effective. But, you know, the consistency, I think, really will come from the playmaking. I think if you can develop that part of his game, maybe not immediately this year, but going forward, yeah, Pascal's going to be real scary. He's already pretty scary right now. Kyle took some charges, played some, another good Kyle Lowry game. You know, took two charges, including one where the Suns reviewed it, video challenged it, which, like, come on, man. Monty Williams, like, I think you've done a really good job with this team this year, the Suns. I think they had some injuries. It's unfortunate, but they're better than the record. But, like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing challenging calls and scrimmages, man? Come on. Trying to give Bill Kennedy, the referee, some extra reps in scrimmages to look at film. Like, we don't need that. And, of course, it was a bad challenge because Kyle actually took a good charge, as he usually does, well outside the restricted area. And, you know, hit some threes as well. Kyle, I think he's played a good game so far. I think Kyle's worked with all the lineups. Kyle's been Kyle. There's nothing else to say, really, about that. OG, another really solid, you know, understated kind of game from OG, kind of similar to that Portland game where he has only 7 points and like a couple of assists over that. You know, it didn't look like that big of a game, but I thought OG played well today as well. You know, 10 points, 4-7 shooting, didn't start the first half, started the second half. In the first half, he was the first sub to come in for Fred anyway, and I think that's, you know, that's to be expected. OG is the starter in this team. You know, and I like OG right now in terms of his confidence. I think it's really clear that he's trying to do stuff, and I appreciate that. First off, it's a scrimmage, so definitely go out there and strut your stuff and try out stuff that you've been working on. But B, I also think that, like, kind of building off of that, you know, Portland game where he was able to drive the paint, either finish or kick out and stuff like that, OG did a little bit more of that handling today. I think, you know, there's one play where he was sized up against Ayton on the baseline, so that was a bit of a mismatch for him. OG was able to drive hard, get underneath the basket, and then kick it out, which I think resulted in a swing, which led to a three, so the hockey assist there. Yeah, you know, OG even tried out a step-back mid-range shot, like a pull-up mid-range. Like, man, you know, that maybe he really does want to be Kawhi. I don't know. But, yeah, it's the confidence, I think, is there for him to try to show a couple of new things in his game. And then, yeah, that's also the old things in the game, which are great, which is the three blocks. OG really is able to, it's just nice to have a small forward who can block shots. Like it's a pretty nice premium to have that extra layer of rim protection, especially OG got a couple of tough ones in transition. So yeah. I mean, so I'm basically saying that most of the starters played decently. It's I just think the Raptors were a little sloppy. Seems like Pascal, for example, has like missed like the entry pass to Serge like three straight games now. It's a little weird. Seems like something basic. I think they can maybe work that out. There's just too many turnovers. 28 turnovers. That is an obscene number, even for a scrimmage. But yeah, I mean, you know, I also thought the bench just couldn't come in and do stuff. Like Terrence Davis, I don't understand why he kept turning the ball over. He started out strong with this drive, sort of like burst through like three defenders and got to the rim for a layup. And I was like, okay, great. Another great Terrence Davis game. He's been real solid outside of his Instagram game, at the bubble so far. Okay, let's see another great Terrence Davis game. And then it just went downhill from there. I mean, he took some bad shots. There was like a really bad 2-for-1 where I think it was like 28 seconds left. He like took a pull-up contest, heavily contested three. Like Kyle Lowry can get away with that. Fred might even get away with that. Terrence doesn't, he's not getting away with that as a rookie, man. I mean, even if it's a 2-for-1, you just got to know. 28 seconds with a shot clock differential of 4. Even the math, I don't think works out on that. And then the turnovers, man. 4 turnovers, just dribbling the ball off his foot. Not really able to get the Raptors into their sets, which is kind of an issue on the whole, right? I've talked about it in the previous two podcasts about the scrimmages where Raptors running these all-bench lineups. And that's cool, but without Kyle or Fred, or even like a guy like Mark to go out there and settle things down for you offensively to sort of just set the table, get things going, like it's just different, man. I mean, Rondé playing point, power forward / center, weirdly, you know, it works to a degree, but I think on the whole, it's not a very efficient way to start your offense. Terrence hasn't really done a great job of it. Even Norm hasn't done a great job of it. Like, it's come down to Matt Thomas to handle the ball a lot, which, again, that's not really his role. So, not a great game for Terrence. Chris Boucher, if I speak, I'll be in big trouble. I don't want to have to pull the Jose Mourinho, but let's just say he got into early foul trouble. Couldn't really hold his post position, which again is kind of a common trend. It's unfortunate that it happened against Frank Kaminsky a day after it happened against Wayans Gabriel. But it was just not a great start for Boucher. I thought he finished strong, I guess. You know, he had a great putback dunk, big highlight block. You know, definitely some highlights there to be shared, but. On the whole, not a great game. And again, if I speak, I am in trouble. So, I prefer not to speak. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, for a guy who's a hustle player, you really got to like be noticeable. Sometimes maybe you're noticeably bad, which happens with Rondé sometimes. But he wasn't even really that noticeable today. I think just the overall activity of the game was low. He didn't really bring it up, which is kind of his job. But again, it's also a scrimmage, so. Hard to fault him that much for what Rondé did. But yeah, not that involved today, offensively or defensively. Matt Thomas, he hit a three. It was funny for a second, but then, yeah, I don't know. It just couldn't get a lot of good shots off. Again, the bench not running great offense is going to hurt a shooter like Matt, who mostly is getting open catch-and-shoot threes, a couple cuts to the basket, and then the occasional pull-up three off a high screen. But yeah, not a lot of organization out there. It was interesting that the Raptors went to Paul Watson. I think he's maybe established himself a little bit. So McCaw's been out all three games, and then O'Shea Brissett didn't play the last two. So maybe it's just Paul Watson, I don't know, getting minutes because there's no one else right there. But yeah, he's had some extended run, and I like what I see from him a little bit. Has a bit of a handle. He had some pretty bad free throw misses, but I think on the whole, he's probably a decent a free throw shooter. Considering the fact that he's a good 3-point shooter at the G League level, has size, guards, plays, defense. I'm intrigued. I want to see what's the next step for Paul. And whether he can crack the main roster after his two-way deal. Stanley Johnson got some time in there. Malcolm Miller got some time in there. DeJuan Hernandez got some time in there. But again, it was all pure garbage time at that point. So, yeah, on the whole, it was just sloppy, man. I don't know. Maybe they just lost their motivation after playing a couple of scrimmage games. But, yeah, this one definitely more than Portland and definitely more than the Houston game looked like a scrimmage. Like, this one was not very competitive from the Raptors. But yeah, on the whole, I think, look, everyone's healthy, which is great. That's what you, well, McCaw's not there. There's a mysterious injury, I guess. But for the most part, everyone is healthy, and that's the most important thing. You know, you got Fred coming back. You got, you know, Fred and Norm getting some, you know, actual shots up, you know, getting some good results there. You know, you got, you know, Pascal hitting some jumpers. You got Mark looking energetic again. I would say most things are positive. I don't know, but we'll see. The Raptors obviously play for real this weekend when they take on the Los Angeles Lakers. But yeah, I mean, as a whole, the Raptors 2-1 on the scrimmage. Not bad. In terms of your three stars, the first star, I'm giving that to... I'll give it to Kyle. I thought Kyle played a really good game, man. Two charges, 11 points, you know, 4 of 8 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. You know, he pulled out the towel look again, which really tells me the basketball's back when Kyle Lowry ties a towel around his head and puts a hoodie over it and, you know, zips it up so you can only see, you know, basically his eyes and the bridge of his nose. That's when you know nature is healing and basketball is really back. Yeah, Kyle played a great game. I mean, I don't know. It's a regular game for Kyle, but, you know, today is good enough for first star. Second star, give that to Pascal. 17 points in 26 minutes. 6 of 9 from the field. 4 of 5 from 3. 3 rebounds, an assist. A couple of turnovers, but on the whole, scored well, played well. You know, guarded with some energy. I think I saw him trying to clap his hands, pick people up, and then close out real hard in a corner shooter and gave some effort there. Unfortunately, none of his teammates responded, but, you know, it is what it is, man. Salute Pascal, trying to do his best there. It just wasn't really going for the Raps tonight. So you got the second star. And then the third star, go a couple ways with it. I think OG has a case. I think Norm has a case. But look, man, I titled this one after Mark. And for Mark's 5.9 rebound, 2 assist, 1 steal, 2 block performance, I'll give it to Mark. You know, look, listen, the bar for Mark, even though he's trimmed down and there's all this hype, is still kind of low until we fully see it. I think there's more Mark can do to assert himself, but I thought on the whole he played well today, offensively, defensively, showed great energy. And I mean, damn, he showed so much great energy. He was riding the bike after the Raptors lost the game. Like, so hopefully Mark can, I mean, at a minimum, bring what he did today and hopefully build off this, you know, add in a little bit more of that scoring. We know that defense is good. We know, I mean, look, Aiden shot, 3 of 8 today, 7 points. Like, defensively, we know Mark can do his job. But, yeah, you know, I would like to see more of the scoring. I think he's capable. And I think the Raptors are also expecting that from him because they keep featuring him early on, you know. So, in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, there is only one candidate. Although I would say Ricky Rubio making some very, very awkward leaning jumpers, including 4 threes, was a bit of a surprise. But Ricky's really improved in that sense, so not too surprised. But Mikal Bridges, man, 26 points, 10 of 12 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3, 2 steals, a block. I mean, just a lot of great plays, 5 assists as well. He was excellent. I mean, he's had a nice year for Phoenix. He's a nice piece for them. Coming over from, Philadelphia on draft night. Yeah, I mean, he's nice, man. The Villanova product, you know, we know Villanova creates some pretty solid players. We've seen Kyle Lowry, their best product, be the cornerstone of the Raptors for the last, 6-7 years. So, yeah, we know Villanova's able to create great players. And Mikal Bridges, I think, fits right into that. Two-way player. Again, most Villanova players play both ends. Hustle. Three-point shot is there for him. The defense has already been pretty good. I saw some pretty good clips of him guarding and shutting down Tatum in a previous game. So, shout-out to him. But, yeah, the scoring today, man, oh, my God, 26 points. A lot of it in transition, but a lot of also, you know, just, like, swift catch-and-shoot plays and... the Suns played a good game, so, you know, tip your hat to them. Yeah, you know, it's also a scrimmage, so who knows? The Suns got to make up a whole lot of games to force that play-in tournament. So I don't think we'll be able to see the Suns again. You know, they're not on the Raptors' schedule, but, you know, good luck to them, man. I mean, I think, what's his name? Monty Williams has really done a good job coaching this team. Again, I think they're better than what the record suggests, and... Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they have in the future. I really do enjoy watching the Suns. I think Devin Booker is really, really nice. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Big thanks to KSC for sponsoring the podcast. And yeah, so in terms of the show, so look out for another episode of the Raptors Weekly Podcast. I'm going to be having a guest on to discuss the scrimmage games and sort of look ahead to the schedule. Sort of back to regular programming in that sense. And then there will be the reaction podcast after the games on the weekend. You're also going to hear the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show. We are 95% of the way there in terms of the technicals. We're going to make one more smooth run through. And then, we look forward to taking your calls. Vitaly from Moscow, we're going to be calling you at a better hour, so it's not going to be 2 a.m. and we might not be catching you on the verge of going out for the evening, maybe more closer to dinner time. So hopefully Vitaly's able to call in. I'm excited to, talk to Josh and talk to all of you guys. So I'll have more information on that as well. And of course, we're making some other more projects as well at Yahoo Sports Canada. We're trying to bring as much Raptors content as possible. Obviously, watch Run It Back. That's coming out later this week as well. And there's a lot of great content, man. Look, the Raptors are back. Nature is healing. I look forward to it. Maybe we'll talk then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.